I'm Laura Harper Lake.
And I'm Sarah Reitzman, and you're listening to Creative Guts. Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Creative Guts.
On this episode, we'll be talking with Mike Durkee of Durkish Delights, multidisciplinary illustrator, graphic designer, musician, and videographer. He also was in my graduating class at Chester College, 2007. We shared many art classes together, and he has always blown me away with the work he produces and the way he thinks. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I'm super amped to reconnect, so
let's dive right into this episode of Creative Guts. Here's Mike Durkee of Durkish Delights.
My name is Mike. I go by Durkish Delights.
Do people call you Durkee anymore? Was that a college thing?
No, that's all people call me. Well, Durkee, Dirks, Dirkenstock.
I remember every possible
variation of my last name. That nobody calls me Mike.
I do remember in college, either you told me or I just said it or someone said it, you really don't like it when people say Turkey Durkee.
Oh, I ended up getting over that. All right, so backstory. I'm a kid in kindergarten, and my last name still Durkee, and that was just like the go-to around Thanksgiving. We had to sing the song Albuquerque Was a Turkey. Albuquerque was a turkey, and everybody would do Durkee Turkey Was it or whatever. And it just, man, that crushed my ego. It was awful. And
that's I hated that. That is heartbreaking.
But now I don't mind.
You're okay with it?
I have a friend who calls me Durkel, which is like a variation of Urkel.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep. Very, very family oriented with that.
I hate Urkel, so I'll never call you that.
Good. What do you want to call me?
You hate
Durkey.
Durkey.
Yeah. Urkel?
Dirk Berkel.
Yeah, also
Durkel.
Named
Urkel. Dirk Berkel. Dirk.
Also name related, his infamous crush was Laura. So on the bus, people would say to me, Laura, do you want some cheese?
Oh, no.
And I'd be like, F*** off.
But yes, I would like some cheese. Do you have cheese?
Do you have some? What kind?
Isn't that so funny? Like the stupid things you're self-conscious about at that age.
Yeah.
I'm an artist and creative wizard sort of guy, interdisciplinary artist. That's the hardest word to
That's how I describe pronounce. Myself, too. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't just take out of one pot. And I've just always been creative and went to school for creativity.
Yeah. Artist,
creative
writers,
clown
thinkers.
College. And yeah. So that's me. And by day, I teach creative software and technology. And then I get to come home and I'm just like nonstop, just make. And I have children and a family and a really cool house with a studio and instruments everywhere. And we just like, the name of the game is just like fostering creativity and being outdoors and all that stuff. And no screen time and all play time.
I want to go live at your house.
You can come to my house.
So Durkee, thank you for being here. I've known you for what, 15 years, 16 years?
Yeah, somehow that's a length of time that we know people for now.
So weird. Yeah. I hate it, but it's awesome.
Hey man, this is the best time to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything's going great.
We're not dead, so that's great.
I woke up this morning. That was cool. Yeah. No, it's a good time to be alive. I feel like... at least for me, I'm just surrounded by creativity and creative people, and that's a lot of fun and pleases me. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So when did you realize you were a creative person when you were younger?
First couple things I remember were like drawing and all that. And that was just always what I did. And there were like these catalytic moments where like growing up, I was like encouraged to make more art. And I remember like, I think my earliest memory was we lived in Massachusetts, went to New Hampshire for vacation, and we were at a Days Inn. And I remember a photograph that I took in the parking lot of my parents and my sister, and it was crooked. And I remember being there in their dining hall, and I had my placemat flipped over and I was drawing on it, as artistic little creative kids do.
Yeah.
And the waitress came over and she was like, oh, that's really good. And like made a really big deal of it. And that was like the first moment where I was like, what? Like, go on. Sorry. Like, you like this drawing of an apple tree?
How much you want for it, lady?
So like, and I literally just like remember that moment as being like that first recognition. And I definitely got it from my parents. Like they were supportive. But that's my history. What was the question? What's my history or something? I went into history.
No. Well, it was when you realized like this is something I love to do.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So like before that,
yeah,
I just don't remember a time where I didn't like want to have pen and paper. You know what's funny? Like, so like now I create graphics and stuff. I remembered back to like my first original like diving into that was I would collect baseball and basketball cards, right? And I was like super into like all the teams, but I didn't watch it, which was weird because I wasn't a jock. I was literally just into the design of the baseball and basketball
what
cards.
What an art nerd. I know. Love it.
No like, judgment what, here. When I was a kid, I loved the Tennessee Titans because I like the blue on blue.
Yeah. What about like the Oakland Raiders just black and white? And it's such a cool graphic.
Right.
So I loved sports graphics so much that I was probably like 9 or 10, and I would take paper and make little cutout basketball jerseys and invent teams players on the teams and design logos and like different variations of the logo and make jerseys. And I had a whole collection of them.
That is cute and as heck.
Isn't that so funny?
Whoa, do you still have them?
I think I might. Somewhere at my parents' house, and I want to find them. They brought this giant tub full of baseball cards, and I've been kind of like going through them, and I'm waiting to find Pedro Monse, who is a guy who I made up when I was 7, his basketball jersey. He played for the Tennessee Fire, which is the team that I made up, and the logo had little flames coming off.
Oh my gosh, if you find it, we share it with us, and we will post it on the Creative Guts podcast.
Yes, I
social media.
I promise. Yes, now I'm on a hunt for it.
I
have like homework.
We need to show our listeners this little gem. And I just want to see it. It sounds adorable.
I think it's probably pretty good, too, and I don't mean to brag, but I remember like as a kid being like, these are good. Like, I could work for the NBA.
Right?
I was so into it for so long.
Are you listening, NBA?
That's the stuff, NBA.
Oh, I mean, somebody does have to do that. Like, that's got to be somebody's job.
To design team logos?
That could be your job.
Well, I'm still not into basketball.
That didn't stop you before. It shouldn't stop you now.
You can sell your designs.
Yeah, I would just, like, come to him with, like, crazy names and stuff. And be like, all right, so here's my latest one. This one's bull ducks, and they are, it's like a bull, but, like, part duck, but, like, kind of, it looks like a platypus. And they'd be like, no. And like, I would just have these, like, the dumbest.
Just go to the next team.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Who keeps letting this guy in the building?
Oh, man.
So you knew you loved doing all of this crazy, awesome stuff.
Just because.
Yeah.
Because you gotta.
And so, what turned you on to Chester College, where we both went to school?
I, if you can imagine, was not the greatest student in high school. I was like, I was way more interested in like going to the art room and skipping class and whatever. So I didn't do very well or have any like real like plans for after high school. And my parents basically were like, they got some pamphlet or book of like just all of these colleges. And they were like, we're going to sit down right now. You're going to pick a college. We're going to get you into the college. And I don't mean like they're going to like pay for me to get in or anything, but they were like, we're finding a way for you to go to college. And they were like, it's either that or trade school and you can be a plumber. I don't plumb. So I was like, I barely even buy plums at the grocery store. Like, so I knew I didn't want to do that. And they recognized that I was interested in art. And they pretty much like found the school. Like, I'm like, I remember sitting there with them, like going over it. And they're like, how about this? I'm like, I don't really, I just want to draw or whatever. So with their help, I went and visited, and I remember when I visited, I went into Photo Barn. So in there, there was a class going on, and I was taking like a tour, and I remember meeting Chris Pitch, who I love.
Yeah.
I still see her from time to time. It's always so exciting.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I follow her on Facebook pretty much, but that's it.
I see her mom sometimes too, and she's like, Michael. She's so cool. She remembers my name. It like makes me so happy.
Awesome.
Like, anyways. So yeah, so I went into some class that was going on, and Chris Pitch was there, and people were kind of showing off their projects, doing like critique or something. She was like, so what medium are you in? And I was like, I don't know what that means. I didn't know what medium was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? And I immediately felt like, oh, I don't belong here. Like,
aww, no.
But then we like saw the rest of it, and I was like, I have to like, oh, this is so cool. It's like just a little art commune.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It was like this funny little magical chunk of time in the grand scheme of things that was so cool. Great instructors like Chris and Nancy and
Jason Bagata.
Pagoda, dude, he was awesome. Yeah. I pissed him off once, wicked bad.
Really?
Oh my God, this is such a fun one.
Let's hear it. No. Okay. Jason Pagoda, to give folks frame of reference, people, most women who went there had a massive crush on him because he kind of looked like Prince. A more manly Prince, yeah. I would say.
Yeah.
He's super inspirational. When he first came right around the same time we did as an instructor.
Yeah.
And he talked about all this guerrilla art he did in New York City where he painted on pennies and would like glue them to the sidewalk with like you are loved and like all this different inspiration. And he had stickers that he would stick everywhere. And it influenced me and Jesse Cloutier to stick stickers all over Portsmouth together. And
he just exuded like creativity and just like
all the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that littering and vandalism?
Get out.
It's called guerrilla art for a reason, Mom.
Yeah.
God. So this is before I had a studio next to him. So before I had a studio outside of the campus, we had a studio in Dow that just like kind of became like me, Ash, Jesse, and a couple other people's place.
Oh, my God. Remember that? From the past.
Right? Right?
It's kind of sad that Chester's getting so much love on this podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's not,
It kind of bumps me out a little bit.
We should remake Chester College. It's a whole new artist commune. Come and drink the Kool-Aid.
Chester
we can too. Have a recording studio for Creative Guts at this new Chester College.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would totally do it. I love Chester so much. I worked there afterwards. Yeah. I believed in it so much.
I have so many good memories. Yeah. So we had the space, right? We like our studio, and all of the professors could wander all up and about and everything and check on you and give you little, you know, hints and tips and whatever as you're going. And I think I was actually in a class with them. And so I was like zoned into my painting, and I was doing something with like kind of neon-y sort of colors. And then he came over and recommended using, what's like the chrome marker.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, what if like you use this? Like in this area. And I just immediately in my head was just like, that's such a bad idea. And I looked at him and I was just like, no, like, just like, what are you talking about? Not even like, it wasn't even in my head that he was Jason Bagata. It was just somebody recommending something that I just knew I didn't want. And then he was just kind of like, oh. And so he like kind of stepped back and walked out of the room. And I think it still didn't even click that I was rude because I was like so zoned into what I was doing. Then he calls everybody into the other room for a critique, and he's across the hall in the room with the lights off, sitting in a chair, and I'm the last one out, and he's like, Mike. I was like, whoa. He's like, come here. It's like, is Prince going to kill me? And he was just like, you know, I was trying to help you, and gave me like this lecture on just like, you know, show a little bit of respect here and this and that.
Wow.
And I was like crushed. I felt so bad. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like I was just so rude to you. And like, I respect you. I didn't even say all this. I was just like, okay, let's go to the critique. I'll take my painting. You can tell me what you think.
Do you want to publicly apologize to Jason Bagata?
Jason Bagata, I publicly
apologize. If you're listening,
to you.
Durky is sorry.
Oh, man. I think back and laugh so hard on that now.
You've got to tag him in a comment when you post this.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm afraid of him a little. He's just so amazing. I would love to have him on the podcast, but it's overwhelming to be your, I mean, I was in the studios, that like big artist collective.
The monastery.
Yes.
Yep.
Only for a little while. And then,
you were in the monastery?
Yeah. What? But after Chester, not during.
I was there a little bit after Chester.
Yeah, I remember.
That place was nuts, man. We used to sneak up onto the roof and just hang out there and do whatever we wanted.
Really?
We shot videos up there.
We went down to the basement, and there was like homeless people peeing down there, and just kind of creepy. Yeah. But we were looking for ghosts, Lisa and Jesse and I.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
I went back there recently because there was another art scene in there for a while called the Hub Hot Spot. I forget what it was. Hub, not HubSpot. That's something totally different. I'll think of it at some point here. But so I went back in, and it's on like a different floor, and I like checked out the show they were having, and they had like some like light installation sort of thing with like bands playing. It was super cool, you know?
That's awesome.
And then I was like, well, I'm going to go venture off and go see if I can find the old space. And it was, I couldn't get into the space, but I was like just walking down the hall. Nobody's there. And it was like this.
The creak of the hallway
like
and the smell.
All those
place.
Things.
It's
like
a huge mill building in Manchester.
Yeah. And I tried to get on the roof, but I was like, I'm 34.
They probably got wise to a few things.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I remember that on that roof, that was like when I left the studio to go leave and travel and everything. I was like, all right, so all my stuff is packed. I'm going to go sneak onto the roof one last time and just like enjoy myself, be with myself like for the moment and then say goodbye. Cause I was like leaving the next day to like get on a plane. And I was enjoying myself up there. And somebody who I'm not going to say because they exist nowadays too, but this person like snuck up and they were kind of annoying to me. It was somebody from another studio.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're like ruining the moment. They're like, hey, you want to like talk? And I'm like, no, yes, sure. Ruin my moment. I'm having a moment here. So there's so much heartbreak, I feel like, in all the stories I've told.
Yeah, I don't know. Designing jerseys wasn't
heartbreaking.
There was no heartbreak there.
Cool. All right.
That's heartwarming.
That is very heartwarming.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about your videos because I did some light stalking, as one does before they interview someone on a podcast.
I loved your message. You're and, like, just doing a little bit of stalking here.
Don't mind me. Doing some creeping. And what I learned about you was that you used to chug gallons of milk as a kid and then throw up for fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the milk. It's probably on some, like, weird vlog I did.
It's on the Valentine's Day one, right? Mm-hmm.
It's called Sorry Ladies, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. Let's Get Creative. Yeah.
I have it as linked in our little thing for you.
Oh, my God.
It's one of my favorites.
So, listen, I grew up, like, making art and skateboarding and, like, getting into trouble and, you know, breaking and entering. No, I'm
being a little rascal.
Robbing banks, you know, no big deal. You're a normal teenager. No, we would like skate around town and get like kicked out of properties for skateboarding, and we would just get into like stupid antics. That was like right around the time when like Jackass got like really popular.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, what can we do for the cause? And then we heard of the milk challenge, which the internet didn't exist back then, so I don't know how we heard of it, but it was like you chug a gallon of milk in an hour without throwing up and you win or something.
Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
It was
what
the
do
worst
you win?
Thing. You
like
just
calcium?
Pride. No.
Yeah, it's like street cred.
You
like,
get strong bones. Yeah.
It's a commercial for milk.
I bet the challenge was created by like, you know, Hood or whatever, Oakhurst.
Right?
Well, they're probably selling out of milk jugs.
Exactly.
They're like, oh no, kids, stop. That's dangerous for you. Keep drinking the milk.
I'm on to you, Hood. Oakhurst. Whoever makes cinnamon.
Whoever makes cinnamon.
McCormick?
The dirty secret about the cinnamon industry that they don't want you to know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When did the video start? Because I don't remember you doing videos in Chester as much, did you?
No. The video started because I took a video editing class. And I remember the moment I was like, oh, I'm going to make videos. This is like, oh my God, this is magic. All right. So we took B-roll footage from around the studio, which was like, there's all these like industrial people in there and like blue collar workers. And so I took just like random B-roll. And then I placed it in, and I didn't know how to add music to it or audio. And then I got like a song that sounded like a Home Depot commercial, and I put it in, and it like sunk up with the video. And I was like, no way. This is so cool. It looks like a commercial for Home Depot. And I was like, I can do that. I just did that. And then we had like a couple different video projects, obviously, and then I just got super into it. The videos, like in terms of like when I went and traveled in Korea and I had the whole big popular channel and everything, that started like right when I was like leaving the studio.
Yeah.
And moving over there was a thought. And I was recording off of my MacBook, like from like the FaceTime camera.
God.
And
yeah.
I literally like walked around with that, like vlogging in the studio. And then I got a proper camera and rest is history.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what's the name of your channel on YouTube?
It was Durky in Korea. And I think now it's Turkish Delights.
Yeah.
Because Durky in Korea was my Korean vlogging channel that was like so much fun and led to all these cool opportunities. And I got to be in like some extreme skateboarding commercial in Korea that's like literally still floating around out there on the internet.
Okay, again, you need to send that to us.
Yeah,
send us
that. Post I was that. At a skate park and this video crew literally just showed up and they're like, we shoot you. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. And they're like, be here next Wednesday. It's like, okay. And they like showed up and got all this like cool footage of me like going up ramps with some other people. It was weird. It was cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely want to see that. Yeah. So you're an interdisciplinary artist.
Yeah.
But you want to break it down and just talk about your art a bit? Like what do you love making most? You know, what's your process? Like take us behind the curtain a bit.
Well, like, it depends on the medium, which is a word I know now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, so, Chris Pitch.
I know. Yeah, I learned something before I was even in there. So, like, I guess to go all the way back, like, my first medium would be, like, drawing and that sort of thing and painting. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I do so much digital stuff now. I draw, like, on an iPad, and I don't do a whole lot on Canvas anymore. I do have Canvas all in the studio that is, like, kind of like when I'm working on a project, I'll, like, break away after, like, 25 minutes and then, like, go and work on that for, like, 5 minutes. And it's just, like, kind of stream of consciousness, mm-hmm. kind of doodles and coming up with, like, funny little characters and kind of, like, these gruesome looking things. And I like line drawings. In terms of, like, what's on paintings, for a long time, it was more so just, like, drawings that I would color in with paint. And now it's more just, like, throwing paint at the canvas and that sort of thing. So that's that. And then video making is more of, so, like, Instagram is, like, my social media platform now. Like, I'm super into that. Love that. It was, like, YouTube for a while, but I felt like the world kind of shifted, and mm-hmm. Instagram's, like, everybody's, like, more on that. And I love how temporary, like, your story is, and you come up with these little, like, series and shit. So, I did just direct a music video.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I forgot about that. So I know this rapper who's really good, and he and I wanted to collaborate. And so we made this music video, and he's like this, like, dad rapper with a family. And it's, like, super cute, and it's going to be dropping on August 1st. And then there's these kids out in Franklin that I'm trying to collaborate with. They're mad young, but I got to send you this album. It's dope.
That's awesome.
Go check out Mackie and Siege. Giving them a shout out on the podcast here.
Ooh, maybe we'll get them on here. Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, how young are they? Are they of age?
I think they're of age. Yes.
Podcast age? I don't know.
In their 20s? Yeah, you know what you have to do? You have to make permission slips for the podcast if you're, like, under a certain age.
Oh, my God.
Under
18 slip. Well, we were talking about that. Like, it would be really cool to interview kids because they're in their
I was just
beginning.
Going to say that. Yes.
Like, first,
yeah.
And we were talking about doing, like, a kid episode with the consent of parents and all that.
Oh, my God.
That.
You can totally use my kids.
Oh, yeah. They're like,
my
bursting with creativity.
Would be hilarious.
Oh.
And would be able to talk about, like, art making.
Yeah. They're bursting with creativity, but without, like, the cynicism of adults.
Yeah.
Or the ego. Yeah.
I'm just a kid doing something
just,
I love.
There's no rules, and they don't know that there's not going to be no rules.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't even see those barriers coming up. They're just like, whatever.
Thank God they don't see it.
And they don't debate with themselves about whether or not, like, they want to monetize their art because they need to pay bills and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. My son started drawing penises, which was so funny.
I just think it's super bad.
I've never seen Superbad.
There's a montage of, like, at least 1,000 penises of, like, ones, like, with, like, a cowboy hat and, like,
what?
All these different. Because Jonah Hill's talking about, like, this penis drawing obsession he had when he was a kid, and it's hilarious. And it's the music's like do 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 do. It's like 1950s, like, cutesy music, and
I love that.
Oh my God,
I
you have to watch
about that.
That. Yeah.
What's the point of it in the movie? Like, his parents get mad, or his teacher sees it, or something.
He hates Emma Stone's character because he had a cool little Ninja Turtles lunchbox, and he put his
pictures
in
drawings.
There, and she found it and, like, freaked out and, like, showed the teacher,
Laura,
and then, like, he had to go to a counselor because he was drawing
there.
All these really?
Oh,
what?
Oh, not with
here's a
doozy. All right, dudes, check this out. So I was probably 12 or 13, and I wanted to draw a naked lady.
Ooh la la.
So I did.
Of course you did.
After whatever I thought they looked like. And then I remember being like, no, what if my parents find this? So I, like, took it and crumpled it up and threw it in my trash can in my bedroom. And then my parents ended up looking in my trash for something else. Like, I threw away a report card or something. And they found that. And... And they, like, awkwardly were like, Michael, we need to talk to you in our bedroom. And I was like, okay, all right, here we go. And they're like, all right, so we were looking through your trash. And I was just like, no. And then she pulls out the report card of the other thing. And I was like, yeah, great. And she's like, yeah, it looks like you got an F or whatever, something like that. I was just like, yeah, whatever, don't care. And she was like, also, I'm like, no. She's like, I found this. And she, like, showed it to me. And I was like, nah. I, like, started to burn on the inside. It was awful.
Did they, like, lecture you about the birds and the bees, or did they just be like, don't draw naked ladies?
Yeah, they were kind of just like, you know, if you don't be drawing this type of stuff, and especially, like, don't do it in school. Like, you know, it's okay that you, like, are curious about that, if you have any questions about that, like, please ask us. But just
that's cool.
Yeah, they're my super cool parents.
I think that's very unfair. Like, it's okay when adults draw naked people, but kids can't. Like, naked people on the wall.
Yeah. I'm pretty obsessed with it. Yeah.
Man, I don't do enough naked people.
It actually reminds me of an episode of Friends where Joey makes not a joke. He tells a story about drawing his own porn, like before, you know, porn was invented.
I think that's like what I was doing.
You were influenced by Joey.
Like the artist in me was just like, okay, so like I can't get like real porn? I'll make my own. I don't care. I'm an artist. I will draw it.
It's too bad you don't live closer, because once a month we do figure drawing in the back room.
Well, you're only a half hour away from my work.
Well, there you go. I'll
text
message.
Me details.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's
I would
awesome.
Do that.
We alternate every month from a male and female model, and we have like 3 or 4 models in rotation. And
that's
it's
fun.
Awesome. Yeah.
I love that.
I started it up here because I was like, I want to draw some naked people. Let's make
it
happen.
It's fun.
It
you
is.
You just look and you got to try to get it right, but you can add your own little style into it, make them all lanky and stuff. I love making people lanky.
I love your proportions in people.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you.
I still have some of your illustrations from when we did Alternative Spring Break in Kentucky.
Stop that. Do you have them?
I have them at home.
Oh, well.
I have them in my home studio. I know. I did.
Please me with my own art from years ago.
Do you remember a couple years ago, I sent you a picture of one. So you did an illustration of a truck, an old truck. And underneath it says, there are a lot of trucks here. Because there were a ton of trucks in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to Kentucky and we like helped. We kind of cleaned the outside of a house and built a little bit of something. We didn't do much.
I got offered moonshine.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah, we were doing that. We were painting the inside of an apartment building. And then at the end of the hall, this guy like opened the door up and he was like such a Kentucky dude. Like if I was supposed to like illustrate like drunk Kentucky dude, it was him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, what y'all doing? I was like, I can't understand what you're saying. He's like, what y'all doing? I was like, I can't understand what you're saying. He's like, want to try some moonshine? I'm like, I don't want to try some moonshine. I am hard at work. So sorry, Buster. He was like, my name's not Buster. None of that really happened. But the guy did come out and was like, you guys want to sip on some moonshine?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was not a part of that.
No.
I was down the hall, I guess.
I feel for our listeners who are missing the really good, like, nonverbal communication. There's some good, like, talking with your hands. There's a good, like, hand on the hip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do a video podcast, you know?
I know. Well, you know what we're going to do? A little bit after our 1 year anniversary, we're hoping, I might cut this out because I don't know if we want to say it yet, but we're going to do a live show, like a one-time live show and have like a panel.
Breaking news,
like
listeners, we're doing a live show.
It's the hope. If we can,
I did the DJ too. Looking good.
Yeah.
Like that was.
We might put it as one of the samples now.
How about I do it and you do the thing from before? Attention, listeners. All right. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Breaking news, listeners, we're doing a live show.
Nice.
Oh, whoops. No, it should have been this
one. Oh, cool. So you crank it up. Onboard sound effects.
Usually she only does mean ones for me, like the cricket.
What's the one on the bottom right? Ooh.
Unicorns.
Oh, this herbal makes essences. Me think of that Janet Jackson song every time.
I love that song.
I want to break into the song.
I know no words to songs. I can stuff easily.
So a while ago, you mentioned collaboration.
Yeah, I love
and it would have been a better segue if I had asked you like 15 minutes ago. But yeah. I wanted to talk to you about like how much collaboration plays into your creativity.
Like a lot. Like I try to always do like graphic projects for things that I'm interested in. So typically like if say I do like a graphic or like a branding package or something like that, I like to get to know the person. A lot of times I already know the person. It's like somebody who's like up and coming, that sort of thing. And for me, it's like a matter of like coming up with a couple ideas after getting to know them and pitching them the ideas, and it's just like really organic and conversational, and I try to be really fun about it and like pump people up about what they're doing. Like, I love that. I think that's such a fun part about like collaborating with people, is like feeding off of each other. So yeah, that's I guess what that looks like. Yeah.
Like our collaboration with Janet Jackson.
Yeah, it was very similar to Janet Jackson. And then like now, like on Instagram, I'll do like contests and stuff like that where I'll like collaborate in random ways, take like somebody else's art, and then like, you know, like I'm working with this photographer right now from like Germany, where he has these like rosy looking things, and I want to take them and like illustrate them in something else.
Oh,
and
cool!
Then, like adapting back and forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I love that. There's this really great documentary called Beauty is Embarrassing, where the main character, whose name I forget, talks about like, he's like, I want to make a song, but then take the song and make it into a drawing, and then take the drawing and then make it into a costume, and then take the costume, make it back into a song.
Ooh.
Right?
So, that sounds awesome. I want to see him.
Yeah. So I love that sort of like back and forth.
An illusion of an illusion of an illusion.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. The same sort of thought like reimagined over and over, but then that thought gets lost and then it might come back into itself or something. Like, it's so fun.
Do you ever collaborate with your wife or your kids in an artistic way? You had mentioned that earlier off podcast, so maybe talk about that a bit.
Yeah. So we try to keep everything creative really accessible in our house. So if you look in our living room, we have like these giant windows, and then on all the walls there's like a banjo, mandolin, guitar, another guitar, and then like a bunch of like percussion stuff with all within the bookshelf. And then on the other side, there's like our TV that we don't really use with like a giant drawer system underneath it with like every art supply the kids could want. And so, you know, I'll wake up in the morning and have coffee and sit there and draw with them. And then like, I started a Redbubble page for my oldest. And so the idea is for him to like design just like simple drawings. I was like, just make like really simple stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'll take it on my iPad and I'll digitize it and I'll show him how I'm doing it like together. And then we post it on his Redbubble.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like, I really want to promote my kids to, if they do want to continue being creative, which I don't want to force them, to like figure out a way to make it your income and like make some money off of it. Like that's one thing that I wish like that I could go back and tell my younger self is like,
oh my God, that's one of our questions.
I know that's one of your questions. Yeah.
How do you know? Oh, never mind. Because you listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Because he's a wizard. Yeah. He already said
saw
that.
My questions.
So I collaborate in that way. And then with my wife, it's way more like critique. So I love my wife, first of all, and I love the way that like, so she'll give me like feedback on a project and this is what it will look like. So maybe it's like a graphic project and I'll have like a bunch of different ideas all laid out. Or, oh my God, I did paintings for Chris Shields stand-up paddle shop a while, like last winter or summer or whatever. And so I like made this whole series and I was kind of iffy on them. And I was like, babe, I want you to look at like the stuff that I've been making tonight. There's like six of them or whatever. So she like comes downstairs and she's just like, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. That one's kind of good, but it's still really kind of terrible. That one you could do,
yeah,
I think, but you have to add something to it. That one's kind of good. So yeah, and I'm like, thank you so much. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so what is so bad about this? And she's like, well, you know, and I'm like, yeah, like how it's all white. And she's like, yeah, of course. Like we're just so like, we have that relationship of like, she can be totally just like blunt. She's we don't have to like bullshit, brutally honest.
Yeah.
And I love her for that. Like I love when she's brutally honest. And to me, like if you're going to be brutally honest with another creator, it's because you love them. You have love for them.
Yeah.
You're not afraid to like not tell them something and then have them keep going and doing that and just get worse over time. Like you have to be able to provide that feedback.
My mom was like that, but I didn't always appreciate it. It took me a while to get there, but I would bring her something and I'd be like, look at this. And she's like, it's all right. It's okay. But other times I'd bring her
stuff.
What
age? Like what age was that? What did that look like?
33.
So last year.
Tell them the reaction to the logo.
Okay, I'll jump back to that in a sec. But I would say age, like middle school and high school. Maybe not like...
Like when you started getting into art.
Not my wee youth, but I mean, I was making art, you know, I was making like illustrations in third grade. Like I was always into that kind of stuff. But I remember bringing her stuff and, you know, she'd be like, it's all right, you know.
Was she just not into art?
She said, I know you can do better because I've seen your other stuff. So push yourself more. You can get there. And I remember thinking, like, you're such a mean mom.
Yeah.
But now, like, when she loves something, it means so much to me because I know she really loves it. Right. And she's honest. She's always honest. Because there's a lot of other folks.
Is she artistic?
In a different way. She has a garden and she does a bunch of... wildflowers, and then she cuts them and makes arrangements and sells them in a little farm stand on the side
of
the road.
So she
makes in that way.
A habitual maker of things.
Yes. But now I appreciate it more. And my husband's kind of like that. He's a bit kinder than the way my mom was kind of brutal about it and just like, but Jeff will definitely be like, ah, I mean, yeah, I could see, you know, yeah. I don't think it's done yet, Laura. You can keep going with
the
it
old,
or something.
I don't think it's done
yet. Yeah, yeah. And some, and I do get defensive sometimes, but overall, he always makes me better, so.
Because, like, you get attached.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like your little babies sometimes if you're working on something super hard, or you think, or you're like, this is adorable. Yeah. Like, I'm making this cute, funny little art, and then someone kind of rains on your parade. It, you have to step back and stop being so egotistical and realize, like, oh, yeah, I could probably do a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, but so the logo for Creative Guts, which took a long time for us to kind of figure out how we wanted it represented. And then I sort of had this idea. It took me a long time to get through the design. And if you go on our Facebook page, you can see the speed video of it on
the
Procreate.
Many iterations.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I sent it to my mom and my sister and a couple of close friends and then our husbands. We wanted feedback from like our little network of people.
Right.
And my mom, who typically uses punctuation and typically writes like, hi, Laura, something, something, love, mom. She just wrote back, no punctuation, no capitalization, nothing. Just, sorry, not a fan. And now it's a joke in my house, my husband and I.
Sorry, not a fan.
I told Jeff and he just died. And so now he'll just say it randomly, like, sorry, not a fan.
At least she said sorry.
No, in my family growing up, like, all the women, like, I'm sorry, but... Da, da, da. It's like, you're not really sorry. You're about say a crazy opinion that you know is going to piss people off, but you preface
you know
it with,
the
I'm
same
sorry.
As, it's the same as, yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Saying.
Well, yeah, I know you're just saying. You just said it, and it was still an thing to
I
say.
I don't need the narration of what you're doing right now.
Or it's like being, no offense, but followed by something offensive.
Yeah.
No offense.
It's clearly. Like I get out our free jail card.
Yeah.
Well, it must be weird, though, dealing with other people's opinions because it's subjective. Like, maybe it's just not their taste.
And that is true because, though, when I was a kid and my mom would say something, you know, I kind of took it to heart and was like, oh, I need to rework this. Like, I stand by that damn logo. I love it still.
Me too.
It's been in the world for 2 months.
What doesn't she like about it?
There's stuff coming out of her guts.
Not a fan.
It's gross. It's just like, what's coming out of her guts?
It's guts. It's called Creative Guts.
And I tried to make it whimsical. It's not supposed to really be literal guts, even though Sarah thinks it is, and she likes that fact. So to each his own is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and that's okay. Mom, if you happen to ever listen to this, it's okay if you don't like it.
You know what would be neat to do? Is to get little pins made that are the shape of the girl flying.
Oh,
my God. With not, like, any guts, because I don't think that'd
work.
That'd
be hard to do.
Like, just a little flying girl.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that.
I know.
Or have, like, polos made with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be so
little
pretty.
Superwoman.
Yeah. Creative gut superwoman.
My husband still makes jokes about the straight lines.
What straight lines?
At one point, those curvy lines were straight lines.
It was kind of like shouting lines coming out of her guts.
And he likes it better, and he still is like, oh, should have gone with straight lines.
And Jeff liked the curvy lines more, I think, right?
I don't know.
I think I would like the curly. I mean, I'm seeing the curly lines right now.
Yeah.
I was very on the fence. I liked both.
I liked both.
You know, but I think that curly is better.
Yeah.
It'd be like really morbid and have like literal guts and be like,
well, that's what I think that's how my mom kind of interprets it. Whereas I was kind of going for like a New Yorker illustration vibe. And
yes.
Yep.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. That's where that's at right there.
And I like that it's a little like tree branchy too.
Yeah.
It looks like branches
organic.
And that's cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Just like guts.
It's like guts are organic.
They have some curves, yes.
And I liked both, but I usually like rank my husband's opinion slightly over mine because he's an artist and I'm not. But
you are an appreciator.
I am
of
an
art.
Appreciator.
You still
of
have an
art.
Opinion and you still have a voice.
Yeah.
I think getting an opinion from somebody who's totally not an artist sometimes is great.
Oh,
just like
absolutely.
Totally outside the playing field.
And if they love it, it sometimes is even more. It's like, I reached you.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, that's great.
You know? And if they say, not for me, you're like, well, what do you know? Yeah. It's a little easier to take it.
Nobody asked you.
Oh, wait, I did.
Oh, I did. My bad. You mentioned kids. How many kids do you have?
I have two male children. The ages are 7 and 5.
Oh, my gosh.
You look at me like you're like, gotcha, I know this stuff. Like, I'm not,
you were going to stump me.
I'm like, okay. Next one, please ask when their birth dates are, because I definitely know that.
So talk about that transition. So my for a little background, this is why I'm asking this. I have an agenda. My husband is a novelist, and he's terrified that when we have kids, he's not going to have the same like motivation and time and whatever to be a creative and to create.
Jeff's worried about that too, and I'm worried about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't. You won't.
Aaron, don't listen. Cut that
and
out.
Wait. Here's the kicker. It's better.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Absolutely. So when it first happened with us, like we came back from South Korea and I had this like super popular YouTube channel that was like leading to me doing all like meeting all these celebrities and crap and like sneaking into concerts to see these DJ. Like I was all of a sudden like living this like really fast, like amazing life. And then it was like, all right, we're going to move back and have a family and like not have any like possible job prospects other than Mike shoots video and he can hopefully get some video jobs. And so we moved back and that just kind of petered out. And I was kind of like depressed about it for like in one part of my head.
Yeah.
But like when you have kids, it's just like I always say, like I didn't know that like you could love something as much. I just didn't know that that was a capacity, a depth that you have in mm-hmm. like your soul until I had my child. And it was like, I made this little thing.
The ultimate creation.
The ultimate creation. So, and then, you know, that just kind of shifts, but creative people also just stay creative. So like a lot of your time is replaced with taking care of the kids, but that's just living, man. That's I think a thing that like makes you creative, or for like somebody like without a passion or something, like if I could give them advice, it'd be like, go out, just get into trouble, go do stuff, experience things, like all of that, like all the experience I have as a parent, like now, like in a way it works itself into my art. And it's just this big, long journey. And y'all should totally have kids. It's the greatest thing ever. And I love creativity. I live and breathe it like every single minute of the day. But my kids and my wife are like still just like the biggest thing.
And that's awesome. It sounds like you've been able to like include your family in your creativity, and that probably also makes a big difference.
Yeah. So I'd say definitely do that. Like since they could hold crayons, we would be like drawing and like, you know, do the exercise where like you draw a line, then they draw off of it.
Yep.
Like that's just like a game we play, like normal families watch like cartoons, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you just involve them. And
they learn by seeing what you're doing.
Yeah.
They see you doing this, like it's just going to be inherent that they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I was like lifting weights all day and that was my passion,
you'd have a couple little bodybuilders on your hands.
Little bodybuilders, man. Or if I was plumbing all the time and I had gone that route, they'd be my little Dirkish plums, man. They'd be my little Dirkish plums.
Sounds like a band.
The Dirkish plums. Oh my God, I made a music video and a song with my kids.
Oh yeah?
So my youngest loves to sing and like dance, and I can show you some videos that are hilarious. And I was like, so do you want to make like a music video? Like I can make a music video. And so we recorded a song in GarageBand. Like I recorded him singing and then like moved everything around and made it like kind of like sync and everything and like quantized everything. And it came out kind of good. I like plugged my guitar in. It's like my guitar riffs. It still just sounds like a kid screaming. It's like this like metal, like a kid screaming, right?
And I want to see it and hear it.
It's called Oh Yeah Fire. He named it. And so then we shot a music video and I was like, all right. So, and like, I took him the whole, like through the whole process of like making a music video. I was like, so first he started off like writing down like ideas and like drawing things on paper. And we all like sat there and stuff and like drew out our ideas. And then I was like, then we do a storyboard, and I was showing him how to storyboard, and theirs are all sloppy. And it was so funny. They had like two blocks. I had like nine of them, you know, cause they're like, is this good? Am I done with the storyboard? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm still working on it. And
is
so,
it weird that I want to be your kid?
You can be my kid.
This is such an enriching childhood. Like,
yeah, man. You gotta spark their imaginations, as they say. So they got all dressed up in like old Halloween costumes and random things they found around the house. And then we shot the video, and then I showed them how to edit and like Final Cut and about like color correction. I was like, see, when you pull this down, it gets like darker where it's darker. And they're like, whoa, yeah. Like, so I'm introducing my kids to like professional video editing software, like 7 and 5.
Damn.
So they better do something with this or else they're going to be plumbers.
They're going to rebel. We want to be plumbers.
Danielle and I talk about that all the time. Not all the time, but like, we we talk about that? We're like, they could just totally be like jocks.
I want to be an attorney and
an attorney. Yeah.
That's kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we're okay with that. Like, that's all right.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. As long as they're good people, right?
Exactly. It's all what's in your heart.
Yeah. So.
Ding, ding, ding. The more you know. Oh, yes. I'm glad I got that.
Don't
make
me play it again.
Yeah, right.
I think we probably need to downshift into rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire.
Can I sneak in one more?
Sneak in one more. I'll try not to tangent too much.
I'll
allow it. Judge Mills Lane.
Now entering people's court.
waiting for this glorious question now, Sarah. You really
bombshell
built it up.
Of a question.
When you're creating. Are you putting any thought into like what you hope your viewer takes away, and do you have like a hope for what your art evokes for them?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the times, like, I like to illustrate things that are stories that I've experienced. So, like, I have just done really random, crazy stuff forever, and I think it's always been like with this intention of like, I know if I do a bunch of like crazy stuff and like get into a little bit of trouble, like there's gonna be some good stories to tell and it's gonna be good. I'm gonna use that for something. You know, and so just like traveling and like going and exploring that sort of stuff.
Screwing up. Like the painting you made in the Sorry Ladies video.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All of those experiences, like I love to kind of like illustrate that. And so I don't think like I'm thinking of that while I'm doing it, but I love the idea of using your art to like tell a story that somebody could like relate to or be entertained by or have some story about like the same thing. So that's like why like a lot of the times when I post something, I'll ask like a follow-up question about it. Like, hey, this is an experience that I had. Like I just did like this Wizard of Oz scene where I was like, what's like a fantasy land like y'all were into like growing up? Somebody said like the Sandlot, which I thought was so cool. You could like travel to like that universe where the Sandlot is, like, come on. So yeah, yes.
Cool.
Yes, I do. If cool. That was a yes or no question, yes.
I don't remember. What did I say?
Right. I don't know. We'll have to rewind the tape and find out.
Yeah. The tape.
Yeah.
Laura keeps making jokes about running out of tape.
I'm hilarious. Yeah, I know. We were doing intros, outros before you came, and I was like, well, I need to stop because we're wasting all this money on this tape.
Thank God we're not. What a time to be alive. I know. You just record for like 3 days and it won't matter.
So as a loyal Creative Guts listener, you know rapid fire. You know the deal.
I'll answer them as quick as I can.
Nobody has been particularly rapid, so we're still sort of waiting to hand that prize out.
I wonder if I can be rapid.
All right. Worst job you ever took when art didn't pay the bills?
Ice cream truck driver.
Such a good answer.
Yeah.
Free ice cream, though?
I ate most of it, and I was the worst salesman. And one time I had an accident in the truck and had to pull over, and it was horrible.
Like a personal accident?
A personal movement within my being. And it was the worst. And I used to, honestly, like, I'm not, like, doing, like, saying this for, like, effect here. I'd be done with my shift, driving all day, making, like, no money because somehow I couldn't sell ice cream. It's ice cream.
Did you forget to turn the music on? Like, oh, no. What else is there to it?
Like, so
the
no
entertainer,
lie.
Right?
I would get off of my shift and get back onto the highway to go drop the truck back off, and I would hold the steering wheel and just scream at the top of my lungs, just like, yeah! Oh my God, this is the worst. And I remember like hearing about the job. I was like, ice cream man, I can do that. Like, I like ice cream. And it was just the worst. Every day I was the lowest performer. No lie. There was like 14 of us and we had a chart every day. I was at the bottom. All right. Rapid.
Yeah, you did.
Keep it going. Come on.
That was worth it.
Tape here.
What other artists have influenced you the most?
Like recently, super into Aaron Draplin, Ed Pien. I used to like him a lot. I don't really do too much painting anymore. I do, but I don't. And then who else am I into? I could look at my Instagram. Oh, Wizard Skull. Do you know Wizard Skull?
No.
Dude, Wizard Skull is so cool. He did like the Ronald McDonald, like the sexy Ronald McDonald where he's like holding his crotch or something.
Seen that.
Right? Yeah. So you know that. He did that. He's done a bunch. He takes like a lot of like existing characters from like Disney and whatnot and just like warps them out. His like Simpsons series is so dope.
Oh, cool.
Aaron Draplin, I love for just his like simplicity and like kind of like old school vintage look of his logos and his design work. And then who's the other person I was just going to say? Andy J. Pizza. Dude, did I send you that? Did I send you the Andy J. Pizza podcast?
I think you told me about it, but you didn't send it to me.
Oh, my God. So good. He's, like, so motivational, and his art is just, like, really fun. And
oh, cool. Old,
like, kind of, like, childlike in a way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's who I'm into at the moment.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I missed everything you said because I typed in Wizard Skull a really long time ago, and it is distracting.
Yeah. Isn't it so cool?
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Favorite color?
Favorite color is, like, I don't know, like, all of them. Black, I guess. But I mean, I basically only wear dark black. Like, I wear a hoodie and I order just packs of black t-shirts.
Yeah.
I guess that makes it my favorite color. It's the shirt color I wear.
Yeah. Or what color do you like to work most in when you're creating?
Man, I've been really into, I grew up, I was always into like that baby blue sort of like, with like a little bit of green in it, kind of like misty looking that. And then like salmon. And I don't, guess I don't use it a whole lot, but I really like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, like that, like almost not like that. I don't know. I don't see any here. Somewhere in here, in that one that you have. No, like that type of stuff.
Yep.
That's super, by the way.
Thank you. He's Laura pointing to an old-fashioned radio watercolor painting.
That type of stuff inspires me, too, just like old vintage products and stuff.
Oh, me too.
We have this great town dump where sometimes I found this like weird like radio receiver, this like old Magnavox one. It was like from the 40s or 50s or something. Ooh. It's totally non-functional. I ripped out the guts and was like smashing it and stuff. And it's just like in my studio just to like look at and be like, it's beautiful. Beautiful art.
That's cool. The like gross town dump shed is such an underrated like thrift store.
I found so many books there and just like books that I'll take like images from and then like do like a graphic out of that. Like, so cool.
Favorite scent?
I was just telling somebody about my favorite scent today. So I'll give you the pine. Pine, because
you were gonna give us a story though.
It's my wife's scent. She just like when I first got to like know her back in the day, she had a pine spray in the bathroom, which that's not her scent, but like
you associate it with her.
Aww. I'd always associate it with her, and then like now she'll get like pine scented candles because she knows I like it, and then I'm like, oh, you got the pine scented candle, and she's like, yeah. And I'm like, thanks, love you.
Do you really like Christmas trees then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when we put that sucker up, man, and I smell that, it's like, Darnell. I call my wife Darnell because in Thailand once, I have a Darnell tattoo. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
Darnell on my chest. I got it on a show for SJC Drums that I did where I would like go around like their studio and their shop and everything, and, like interview people and whatnot, and they have this tattoo artist on, and I wanted to get that for a while. I partied really hard with Danielle and our family friends in Thailand way back in the day. And at one point in the night, we started calling her Darnell, and it stuck for the whole trip. And I still call her Darnell.
Aww.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
How did we get to Darnell?
Pine. Christmas trees.
Just raving about my wife.
Yeah. I love the Create tattoo, too.
I don't, like, because I got it when I was, like, 18. And I had designed a tattoo that said Create, which was kind of cool. And then I got to the place and I was like, I forgot it. And the guy was like, just choose a font, man. And I was like, cool, that one.
Yeah. Oh.
It's not very good. It's not very good.
It's kind of an Art Nouveau, like 1920s-ish.
Yeah. It's not good.
Favorite sound.
A sound that just, maybe it's not my favorite. I don't know if you can really rank sounds, but a recent favorite sound is, some mornings we'll be like in bed and I'll hear my youngest, who's 5, singing as he's waking up. Just like, and it's like this faint little voice off in the distance. That's such a good sound.
That's awesome.
That's so cute.
That sounds really good. Favorite texture to touch?
I like, you know, when you get the sushi and you have the salmon on top?
I don't know because I don't like seafood.
Well,
I'm with you.
Next question.
So sushi or salmon?
Salmon. I think it's just such an interesting texture. Maybe it's not I don't want the viewers out there to think that I'm going to go home and open up the old salmon pack and start stroking the salmon. But like, I just think it's a really cool texture. Like, I love putting it in my mouth. It's like a pillow and it's just, I want to eat some sushi on the way home.
You know what's interesting is for favorite color,
One of them was salmon that you said.
Yeah, rose, right?
No, you said
you
pointed to that and said
no, on
salmon.
A different podcast, wasn't there? Oh, yeah, you're right.
So your answer has been salmon for two different questions.
Wait. Favorite food?
Salmon.
Really?
I knew it.
No, favorite, no.
I mean, what's your favorite fish?
It's definitely. Let's get a third salmon here. We're in a salmon famine. We need another one, folks.
Salmon famine.
I think my favorite, what was it, food?
Yeah.
Like.
Ice cream, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I love all food. I'm really into like making these banh mi sandwiches.
Yum.
You ever had a banh mi?
Yum. Yes. Right? Isn't the main ingredient in banh mi salmon?
Oh, it could be.
Holy cow. That's why I don't know what it is.
That's a Vietnamese French sandwich because the French colonized over there for a bit and then they took their baguettes and then the Vietnamese were like, how about we put this stuff in it? And they're like, do it. And now we're like super into it.
Cram some like Asian flavors into a baguette.
Holy
boom.
Cow. It's
delicious.
It's what
I like seafood.
Made
there you go.
I'll make you a vegetarian banh mi.
Okay. Oh, no, we do. We're like 80% vegetarian. We never buy meat. So we do sliced up tofu, broiled or not broiled, but seared in the pan. It's great.
Yeah. I'm a vegetarian. That sounds delicious.
That's cool. Cool. Nobody's perfect. I'm 80% vegetarian. It's okay.
We were talking to her brother, the chef, and
her
question
was
like, how much do you hate people like Laura?
I know, yeah.
Like, he was like, honestly, don't you jump off a bridge? What the heck? That was not written down. Yeah. That was
I love that.
Yeah, but the rest of the conversation was so like pro-vegetarian.
It was.
We're talking about how good vegetables are.
We didn't know that was going to happen, though.
I did.
Then they talked about the whole like people were like hyper gluten-free.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
I get that.
Most inspiring location you've traveled to.
So, Cambodia. So, when I lived in Korea, we were about to come home and all that and everything. And Danielle was like, take this like one last vacation time where you can go and just like go by yourself. Go do backpacking, whatever, for like a week or whatever. So, I went to Cambodia and I was working on the storyboard for my first real like music video for this awesome band called Angry Bear or Hwanang Gom. And so, I just I remember this one experience where like I was sitting in this sort of like pub restaurant, just like scribbling away like all day, like drinking and like not paying attention to that. And then I like kind of got up and I was like, whoa, I've been working hard today. And I remember the bartender was like, are you okay? I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm gonna go take a nap. And then like that trip was really cool because I worked on that project and like finished the storyboard and all the ideas and all of like the shot locations and everything like while I was there. I'd like take a break from like what's the thing where not the Killing Fields, which I did go to, which is so sad. And I like befriended a tuk-tuk driver there.
Aww.
But yeah, I worked on this project while I was there. And it was really neat. That's like
that's
a memory
awesome.
I have from even like when I watched the music video now.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
You're just bursting with creativity all the time.
Dude, about to explode.
Yeah.
About to explode up in this band. Yeah, you know, it's like all I want to do. And I realized like a while back that, you know, like it's like they tell you, like there's no rules. You can do whatever you want. And there really isn't. Like you can just do literally whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can just ignore all the bullshit. Like all of like, well, you have to do it this way. And then like, we'll start off making pamphlets and then do logos for this and then move to like, nah, just like do that you want to do that you believe in. Like, that's what I love about collaborating. It's like, if you just do it for yourself and you can like, I make money occasionally. And sometimes like I get paid in bread, you know, for like this awesome bread company called Pride and Prejudice, which you guys should all check out.
Oh my gosh.
By Elizabeth Bennett, who is the character in the story. And that's the woman who runs the bread company. She's awesome.
Wait, is her name?
Elizabeth Bennett.
It really is.
It really is. And her bread's stupid good.
Elizabeth Bennett is my favorite literary character of all time.
Well, you need to check this out.
There is a board game called Marrying Mr. Darcy, and I always demand to play Elizabeth Bennett, and she's one of the hardest to play because she has to only marry Mr. Darcy, and Jeff loves to me over and try to go for Mr. Darcy, even if it's his own sister. He tries to go for Mr. Darcy. And I love Elizabeth Bennett, and I will absolutely try that bread immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's good stuff.
That I'm just like so excited. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, wherever you can find creativity, and like I said, sometimes you get a good paycheck and sometimes it's just a collaboration.
Yep.
And it's something for the portfolio, but you make something that you're proud of, and that's all that matters, dude.
That's what it's about.
It's all that matters. I don't care about anything else.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love it that you do it with your family and that you're so proactive on passing it on. And got that's, it, dude. That's awesome.
Gotta pass on the famously legacy. I don't want any plumbers in my house. Get out. He's gonna be like, Dad, it's gonna be like the dentist kid on like Rudolph, where he's like, I wanna be a dentist. He's gonna be like, I wanna be a plumber. I'm like, a plumber? That sounds like a plumber. Nobody's gonna be a plumber in my house. Nah, he can be a plumber. They can be plumbers. I for the record, have nothing against plumbers. It's a great job. On that note.
So I just Googled it to fact check myself, and a banh mi is traditionally made with pork, but I stand by what I said because it is
tofu.
Made with salmon a lot.
Yeah.
Restaurants make it with salmon a lot.
You can do salmon.
I'm standing by this. I don't care.
Sorry, you can put anything in a banh mi.
Right? Thank you.
If you can dream it, you can do it. That's just what he was saying. So.
That feels like a really good note to go out on.
Yeah. So as you know what our tradition is, how we end every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Show us your creative guts.
Come on! It's DMX. That was DMX. I yelled away from the thing. I didn't have the sound effect prepared, but I love that.
That's awesome.
Or when he growls. The greatest DMX lyric ever.
Hey, that was really fun. Durky continually surprised me. He is a self-described barrel of laughs, and I agree.
Yes.
And he's an amazing storyteller because he has all those interesting life experiences. It was a relief to hear how he's been able to prioritize and balance and blend his creativity and his family, something I think most of us worry about.
Yes, definitely. I want to say thank you to Durky so much for being on the show. This episode was twofold for me. Not only did I get to hear and help share all the cool stuff that you're doing and making, I got to reconnect with an old friend, and I love your energy and your attitude, and you've really impressed me with how you've built a life for yourself with such a creatively immersive atmosphere for your family. Not trying to get sappy, but I'm just so happy you were on the podcast. It means a lot, and I'm really, really glad we got to reconnect. Okay, enough mushiness.
Get to know Mike Durky of Durkish Delights online at durkishdelights.com, and you can fall into the Instagram and YouTube rabbit hole from there.
Ah, she said rabbit again.
I snuck that one in.
If you want to hear more from us, Creative Guts is available on all major podcast platforms and Facebook too. And if you want to do us an extra special favor, go and share your favorite episode with all your Facebook or Instagram friends. Spread the good word and get Creative Guts out there even more. We believe so much in the people that we're sharing the stories of, so we want them to be heard more. So with that,
we'll have a new episode for you next Wednesday.
So, interduplex.
Interduplex? They call me interduplex.
I could say it fine, and then you f it up.
Now try to say it. You won't be able to.
I know. It's impossible. We had chickens and ducks all the time, and my first duck's name was Van Morrison.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah. You know, he has stage fright. He doesn't perform anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We should get him on the podcast. He can talk about that.
Yay, we did it.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. This is super fun.
No, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
No, thank you. Yay. Special thanks to Janet Jackson.
That's right.